Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, I want to start with 13Z, Debbie Henderson, Chris Ivory, Green Right Nasty, Z Peel, Fake Slash 37, Buster Bluff, Naked Right, X Post, Y Mike. That'll be the first call.
Touchdown pass in the National Football League.
T.O. grabs it and takes it into the end zone. Touchdown to Detroit Lions.
Oh, what an effort by Devon Best to score. Wow.
Dwayne Bowe in capital letters for the Terlicks and a real big punt.
That is all play call by Ken Wisenhunt.
Kurt Davis stretching to the end zone. Touchdown.
The Patriots have broken it open.
Your technique. Trust the man next to you. And above all, compete.
Under pressure, he'll be back. Fumbles the football. The Jets have it. Picked off. Intercepted by the Carolina Panthers. And Saints get the turnover right back in their hands.
I don't need a hero. I just need you to do your job. You got me?
There's only one person that carries the ball right here.
Braun, he's in trouble. He can run to the left side. Tebow's going to run to the five, and Denver's got a touchdown.
What a run. Redskins win in Philadelphia.
An 80-yard touchdown for Adrian Peterson.
Hit by Greedy. Back wins it for the Colts.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Blood whatever.
Have it. Touchdown.
Touchdown, Aaron Foster.
Get to the end zone.
Touchdown, Jacksonville.
There he goes, 25 to the 30-yard line. Still going, touchdown south. At the 40, no man to beat. 103 yards. Touchdown Atlanta. Eric Weems just changed the game.
15, steps over man, 20.
25, straight through, 30. He's got it again.
Wow, look, Aaron Blatt showed it today. He hurdles another tackle.
I know what you guys are made of. I know what you're made of. I see it every day.
We kept digging for a purpose. We want to come out of here with a win.
Resiliency is our trademark.
That's all. You gotta want it more than they do. You gotta want it more than they do. Every week, the level got to go higher and higher. The effort. The physical play, the execution. Just keep coming and we'll find a way to win. Because the opportunity is there. The opportunity is there.
Atlanta clinches their third consecutive winning season.
Four more games. Four-game winning streak. That's all we have to do.
The Eagles have pulled off the most remarkable win I have ever seen. Eric Berry, the biggest defensive play of the year for Kansas City.
It is now a one-game season. December is our month. It is time to go to work.
Across the 40, midfield. 45, he's on the run lane. 40, holding the man, 35, look at it go. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Oh, my God, interception. Packers to the championship. 48-21 over the Falcons.
That's how we do it. We pick each other up. We play football like we're Steelers, like we are a team.
Touchdown! What a catch by Santonio Holmes! And the Jets answer right back.
The Bears have won, and it sets up a colossal renewal of the oldest and best rivalry in the NFL.
We got a game with immortality. He takes it into the end zone himself, diving for the pylon. Touchdown!
Leg it right. Now he's going to run.
He's into the end zone. He hits the ball and
Super Bowl 45, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers.
It is finally here.
Rodgers play action, look to the end zone. Rainbow Stewart and Nelson. He's done it. In thrilling fashion, the Green Bay Packers take a 14-0 lead. It's all in. And then touchdown for the touchdown. Pittsburgh right back in it. Nobody's going anywhere.
All right, let's go now. Keep that rhythm going. One play at a time. We're going to be champions tonight. All right, let's go.
Rodgers looks around, throws right side of the end zone. Wide open. And there is your Super Bowl dagger. The title is back in town. The Green Bay Packers are world champions.
It never gets old. It never gets old. Good morning, NFL heads. Good morning, sports fans. 10:07 for your Sunday morning. Welcome in to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. I am your host, Vinny Moore, and there is a bunch going on as we get you ready. The pregame to the pregame show for week four in the National Football League. All right, here we go. 10:07 in the morning. It's Sunday. This, in most cases across country, it's not a cloud in the sky. It's a crisp morning. It's beautiful outside. It's a beautiful fall day. You got playoff baseball going on. You got preseason NHL hockey going on. Of course, you got the NFL doing what it always does, exciting all of us. And then you get the story. Hits on MSN last night for those of you. I saw a couple of you posted it on your Facebook accounts. The story of, and I want to say it right, Demias Jimerson. That's right. Demias Jimerson. He's an 11-year-old young man who plays youth football in an intermediate league in Arkansas. I'm just going to read it to you, and feel free to hit me on my Facebook, hit me on Twitter, or you know, if you play it back later, just hit me up with any questions you got. You can all look it up as well. An amazing story. For those of us who are a little old school heads that believe you just play the game and whatever happens, happens, this is a little bit kind of edgy for you. For those of you who believe that it's all about, you know, fair play and sportsmanship, okay, but here goes. In the continuing attempt to make the country as soft as possible, there is now the Madre Hill Rule. A rule that prohibits young players from scoring too many touchdowns. Meet the 11-year-old running back, Demias Jimerson, who plays in an Arkansas Wilson Intermediate League. Jimerson is so good that the league implemented a little-known rule named after Arkansas Razorbacks great Madre Hill. If a player has already scored 3 touchdowns and his team has a 14-point lead, then he is banned from the end zone. I didn't stutter. Banned from the end zone. I'm somewhat confused here. If Jimerson gets close to the goal line, is he supposed to fall down and do snow angels? Or is there some kind of invisible fence that shocks him and prevents him from scoring? Inquiring minds want to know. However, all is not bad in the world of Jimerson. In 7 years, Brett Bielema will ask him to come into the fourth quarter against Austin Peay up 63-3. And after his touchdown, Bielema will tell him to go for 2. You know, because the card told him to. You know, anyway. Sixth grade player hit with the Madre Hill rule. Some of you have responded. You can always tell which ones are parents and which ones aren't, but let me share some of the responses. Mommy Grave says, I agree. This is supposed to be a community sport where it shows good sportsmanship, not, hey, you suck so much I can score 100 times on you. This is not the NFL. This is supposed to be about helping children, self-esteem, playing a sport. Uh-huh. Blyargle Sniff says, if they're going to bench him for being too good, if I was that coach, I would ground pound him as much as possible and have him step out at the 1 yard line and rotate all the other backs to score their 3 touchdowns. Also, if the other coaches were any good, they would stack the box with 8 defenders and make them work for the yardage and scores instead of laying down and whining about it. This is ridiculous, says Cujo's 87. The whole point of the game is about doing your best. This is sending the message that we should never knock one out of the park and win the game. Exceptionalism is the point. We set bust our ass every day to be the best and win. That is competition. Imagine how attendance and revenues would drop if this idea was implemented at the college and professional level. I guarantee fans wouldn't be jumping out of their seats. Ken23 says the point is to do your best. In the education system, there is a similar rule. No child left behind. Can't anyone see there are going to be differences in the abilities and talents in sports as well as in learning? Yes, I know that teachers are supposed to do with the students they get, but education is asking the schools to do the impossible. What company can succeed in turning out quality products on a consistent basis when they have no say in the quality of the raw materials they are asked to use? Let the kids play. Let the kids learn, sometimes at different paces. S-Pat 1982 says, well put, I totally agree. Kids need to learn that everyone has different talents and abilities and respect each other even so. The job of the coach or teacher is to guide the child and to encourage hard work and discipline in whatever areas they excel in. Good parallel. So those are your comments to the Demias Jimerson story. Again, check that out on Facebook, MSN, wherever you can. Just an interesting situation. All right, 10-11 for your morning. Let's get into what we know is going to be a very, very interesting week four in the National Football League. We got obviously some fun things going on. For those of you who weren't trying to figure out what you're going to do with your fantasy squads, we've also got Major League Baseball in its playoff push. Touch on. Matter of fact, that's where we're going next. We are the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports, back after this.
The sights of summer. Don't blink. They go fast. Summer's best event from Cadillac. This summer, you do have a choice. And the time is now.
So, still deciding between Verizon DSL and Comcast high-speed internet? Well, you should get the whole story.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to know, how fast is Verizon DSL?
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
On where you live.
On where I live? All right, well, do I pay less if I get a slower connection?
No.
You're kidding me.
Right. Now, let's hear that conversation with Comcast.
Hello, Comcast.
Yeah, hi. I'm curious. How much faster are you than Verizon DSL?
Oh, there's really no comparison, sir. With our 3-meg service, we're up to 3 times faster than Verizon 768K DSL. You see, we're a 100% pure broadband network.
So you guys really are the best.
Absolutely. We're the number one high-speed internet provider in America.
Wow, I almost made the wrong call. But I'm going with Comcast.
If you're looking for the best internet experience, make the right call. Comcast high-speed internet. Nothing else comes close.
Download speed compared to 768K DSL. Upstream limited to 256K. Many factors affect speed, and actual speeds may vary. Call Comcast for pricing and service detail.
Back at it. Here you go. Major League Baseball playoffs. Yesterday. Great. Actually, 2 days ago. Think about it. Tigers, Yankees. Game suspended. Weather. 1-1. Yankees come out and explode, okay? That is no other way to say it, explode. How do you say this? Gee, Robinson Cano, slam, unforeseen heroes in Nova, new faces of Yankees, just the Yankees being the Yankees. There's really no other way to say it, Yankees being Yankees. Rangers and Rays, the Rays come out still on that hot streak and blow out Texas 9-0. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere last night, the Rangers come back and do what they do, play solid Ranger baseball and tie up that series. Hang on a second. Guys, those of you back in the back room, I'm not sure what you're doing there, but how did I wind up getting a mix of Major League Baseball news mixed in with boxing? And I know Barker and Martinez fought last night, and Barker got knocked out, and it was a decent fight. But we're not talking about boxing right now. We're into baseball. So let's talk about this. All right, so where are we at? Let me get me back where I need to be, guys. All right, we know Tigers, Yankees. We know Scherzer's going up against Garcia. That should be today, we believe. Let's see. Let's go back, guys. We need to go back. We want to touch on some of the things that have already happened in baseball. Let's go back to Saturday. That'll make the most sense. All right, here we go. The game that was made up. All right, yeah. Thank you, guys. Took you a minute, but thank you. All right, 10:15 for your morning, fan heads. Again, Robinson Cano slam basically fuels the Yankees' 9-3 win over the Detroit Tigers. I don't know why Diamondbacks Kirk Gibson decided he was going to pitch to Prince Fielder when it was only a 2-0 game. I'm sorry, a 2-1 game. It was a 2-0 game, and Arizona still had a chance to be in the game, and then they decided to pitch to Prince, who promptly said, if you're going to throw me a fastball, I'm only going to hit it 400-plus feet. Next thing you know, it's 4-0. Arizona tries to rally, gets one. That's how it ends, 4-1. Milwaukee leads that series 1-0. Phillies Cardinals get off to an interesting start last night. Lance Berkman hits the three-run home run early on, but then the Phillies become the Phillies and basically run away with the game 11-6. It was a good game, very entertaining across the board. And the other across the pond, I guess, Rangers and Rays, after a 9-0 shutout for game one, Rangers come back and hold off a late Rays push and get that series tied at 1-1 with an 8-6 win. Holland's the winner, Shields the loser in that one. Feliz gets the save. Let's see. I want to go back to the Cardinals-Phillies for a minute because if they don't get the five-run sixth, obviously you've got a whole different ball game. Keep in mind, the Cardinals scored three in the top of the ninth. Otherwise, you know, the game was, again, you had the hots and colds. I guess they haven't played baseball. Cardinals had two big innings, the first and the ninth, and that was basically all they were able to muster up. Los just didn't have it. He had it early on, you know, even through the fifth, but after that, you know, things kind of got away from him pretty quickly. Home runs from Lance Berkman to St. Louis, and then Ibanez and Ryan Howard from the Phillies. Not much beyond that. Again, for your baseball playoffs right now, again, on the American League side, Yankees lead that series 1-0. Rays and Rangers are tied up at a game apiece. In the National League side, Brewers lead the Diamondbacks 1-0. Phillies up on the Cardinals by 1 game. More baseball coming up today. Three games today. So, again, baseball putting its foot on the accelerator as they start to get deeper and deeper into deciding what that Fall Classic is going to look like. Prognosticators right now are still kind of favoring Yankees, Rangers, and the American League Championship Series, and Brewers, Phillies on the other side. Can the Brewers, the Brewers got to get past the Diamondbacks, which looks like it may actually not be that difficult. I say that tongue in cheek because you got to play the game. But I will tell you this. I don't recall at any point during the season this year when the Brewers had maybe more than one three-game losing streak at any point in their season. They're just well-balanced. They're well-coached, and they're on a mission right now. They're not better than the Philadelphia Phillies, but at least they're making a statement and prepping for what should be a very successful run, hopefully over a couple of years. Again, I'm a Chicago guy, but I do love the city of Milwaukee and certainly respect the teams up there. Again, as much as it may pain me, you can't help but admire and appreciate what even the Green Bay Packers have done, the Milwaukee Brewers have done it. Again, the Milwaukee Bucks we won't touch about because I refuse to talk about the National Basketball Association. But you've already heard that from me over the last few weeks. That's not going to change. So it is what it is. So that's your baseball love for Sunday on the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. I am your host, Vinny Moore. Moving on from baseball, we need to touch on some NHL hockey, guys. Now, I don't know where you're at in this world when you're playing this back, if you're listening to it live. Not really sure. All I know is this. If you're getting ready for the NHL season and you're not a little bit excited about your team, whether it's the Chicago Blackhawks, the Winnipeg Jets, the Ottawa Senators, if you're not a little excited, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Detroit Red Wings have got some problems right now. But if you're not a little bit excited about hockey in your city, again, the New York Rangers, New York Islanders, I mean, it's just an exciting time. Why? Because you're 0-0. You got nothing to lose, okay? Right now, you know, most of your fans, and this is one thing I love about hockey fans, most hockey fans know, even before they get into the regular season, if their team is going to even be competitive. They already know. I think it's amazing that sport, you know, maybe unlike a lot of others, I mean, because, again, if someone had told you in the National Football League that Buffalo was going to get out of the gate like this, you'd have told them they needed a physician. But here we are in the National Hockey League. You know, most of us knew even last year after the Blackhawks had won their NHL Stanley Cup that they weren't going to come out the same team, basically because of the fire sale that they did after they'd won their championship, letting a lot of their talented players move on. And yet and still, you know, late in the part of the season, they did make a push and got into the playoffs and took Vancouver to 7 games nonetheless. The reality is we kind of knew that they weren't going to be that same, you know, explosive squad that they were that championship season. So where are we at now? Are the Boston Bruins ready to repeat? Are they ready to fight for that title? Or is this going to be another unsung team that we didn't see coming? You know, is it going to be the San Jose Sharks, who maybe on paper look really, really good? You know, Antti Niemi's back in goal this year. I mean, you know, guys, it could be really, really exciting. Is Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby, are they ready to, you know, step up and be that dominant team? I guess we're going to find out here pretty quickly because, you know, uniquely enough, in an 82-game hockey season, it goes so quickly. It really, really does. I mean, the regular season is fun. The highlights are cool and everything. But there's nothing like playoff hockey. If you don't even have to be a hockey fan Just watch playoff hockey and you'll understand the excitement, the energy level. The stadium is rocking, and especially now that they're not going to compete with the NBA. Yeah, I mean, the NBA is right on the edge of having its entire world collapse for a season. Stern is saying if we don't have an agreement, don't have a deal, we don't have a season. We don't have a season. You don't have an NBA. So for my friends, the Bulls fans in the world, you don't get Derrick Rose this year. Derrick Rose, if he wants to play, probably has to go overseas. I know it pains you to hear me say that, but Oklahoma City fans, Kevin Durant is already overseas. I mean, Tony Parker is already overseas. Joakim Noah is already overseas. The writing is largely on the wall. I don't know what rabbit they're going to pull out of the hat at the 11th hour here, if any. But at 10:21 on a Sunday morning, there is no NBA to really talk about. So, ooh-wee, what will it seem without any, and I mean any, NBA this winter? What will we do with ourselves? You know what we're going to do? We're going to find us some really, really good football. We're going to enjoy the NFL. We're going to enjoy some great stuff from the college football, which has been on fire lately. And again, if you haven't been paying any attention to that, good stuff. I mean, number one Oklahoma is no longer number one, and they haven't lost. The reality is that LSU has just looked like a beast. And whether you call it computers, call it coaches, LSU has conveniently moved into that number one spot. So let's do it. As is always the case on the Fast 6 Minute Sports, let's run you down your top 25 in college football. This was fun, and I'll share why as we run through it. All right, from 25 down to 1, here we go. Arizona State, 35-20 over Oregon State. Illinois, in one of the more entertaining games of the day, at number 24, beats Northwestern 38-35. That lends me to believe that Illinois may be on the edge of that top 25 pretty quickly because, you know, Northwestern's a lot of fun and a game squad. But Illinois, if they want to be ranked, has got to do better than that. West Virginia, 55-10 winner. North Carolina State, a loser to Georgia Tech, number 21. Again, Georgia Tech is the ranked team, 45-35. Number 20, TCU, loses again. Oh, my, that's a shot. I hadn't even noticed that. SMU upsets TCU, 40-33. Number 19, hey, there you Wolverines, some Wolverine love. Michigan wins 58-0, a shutout over Minnesota. Number 17, Texas takes care of Iowa State, 37-14. Pitt takes care of number 16, USF. Well, my God, U.S. Florida. South Florida loses to Pitt, 44-17. Well, that's going to shake a few things up in the higher end. Kansas State upsets Baylor, 36-35. Again, some upset specials, y'all. Number 18, Arkansas, a 42-30 win over number 14, Texas A&M. Again, shake up between 10 and 20 in the worst way. Then again, this actually may work well for Illinois. And all. As I'm looking at these upsets, it may actually work well. Number 13, Clemson, a 23-3 winner over Vatek. Clemson is good, and I mean really good. If you haven't seen Clemson play on defense, you haven't seen them play on offense, that team is better than the 13th ranked team in the country. Auburn upsets number 10, South Carolina, 16-13. So, again, continuing the shakeup. Wisconsin welcomed Nebraska to the Big Ten by slapping them in the face, 48-17. Number 7 looked like number 1, and Nebraska looked like they didn't belong in the second half. Great game in the first half. And adjustments made by Britt Bielema, and all of a sudden Wisconsin began to just literally run away at home. Number 16, Stanford takes care of UCLA 45-19. Whatever happened to the great UCLA program that, you know, gave us Deshaun Foster and some running backs? I know Cade McNow wasn't a great quarterback, but UCLA used to be a great program, and it has just fallen on hard times. Anyway. Number 4, Boise State takes care of Nevada 30-10. Number 3, Alabama takes care of number 12, Florida, 38-10. Number 2, Oklahoma rolls 62-6 over Ball State. And number 1, LSU rolls over Kentucky 35-7. So that's your love for your top 25 in college football at 10:25 on your Sunday morning. Again, Week 4 in the National Football League. Today is October the 2nd, 2011. I hope you're well wherever you're at in this world. My name is Vinny Moore, and I am the host of the fastest 60 minutes in sports. We'll be right back as soon as Vince can find the button to push because I've gotten beside myself. I'm still a little upset. I did not realize there'd been that many upsets in college football. That's a stun of me. Ooh-wee. Where are we going? Where are we going? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? You sure? All right, guys, back after this.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton Green Tea. let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars? It, what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mm.
Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Don't, no. Do not talk to me about the, you know what? This is how I feel about the National Basketball Association.
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be...
So you know, the NBA is not getting better. It's not getting better. They can't sort it out. They can't figure it out. Do not, Eric, Michael, John, do not bring that to me. And I'm a Bulls fan. Don't get it twisted. Do not get it twisted. Ugh. Billionaires and millionaires and jerk-offs. All right. 10:27, welcome back to the fastest. Can we get back to something a little more fun, please? Thank you. Let's get back to football. Hey! We get all giddy about that, huh? All right, fantasy heads, 10:27 for your morning. I know we're 3 minutes ahead of schedule, but let's get into it because we got some specials. Our buddies from ESPN have submitted the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. We'll get you that near the end. And, of course, you know you can't go get ready for your for those of you going to the betting window without week four NFL VIN picks, that's coming down the pipe. All right, let's break it down. For week number four, for those of you in your fantasy world, fire up your computers, pay attention. We're going to run through your top 10 fantasy quarterback, or actually fantasy positions for top 10 each position, quarterbacks, running backs, wideouts, tight ends, kickers, and defenses for week four. Rock and roll. This week in the quarterback world, number 10, Matt Schaub, projected to go up nothing less than a deuce. When I say a deuce, I mean I should probably clarify that. He's probably going to be somewhere around 14 points, depending on how your fantasy team is scoring. Let's see. This is inverted, guys. I'm not sure. I'm going to go a different way with this. But Matt Schaub's number 10 quarterback. Number 9, Tony Romo pipes in. He's got the Lions this week. Should put up some decent numbers. The secondary is not as good as advertised. Number 8, Eli Manning up against Arizona again. Eli Manning, a help out of the backfield with his running back, should do really, really well. Number 7, Ryan Fitzpatrick up against the Cincinnati Bengals defense. A Bengals defense that has played decent, but Fitzpatrick has been out of his mind. Number 6, Michael Vick going up against Patrick Wilson at 49er defense. Number 5, Phillip Rivers goes up against Miami, so look for him to put up some numbers. Number 4, Matt Stafford out of Detroit, the Lions against the boys. Again, not a lot of respect for the Dallas secondary, so looking for Matthew Stafford to put up some numbers. Number 3, Drew Brees out of New Orleans up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Even that game's in Jacksonville, but the weather's nice today. There does not appear to be a tropical storm, except for the tropical storm Drees' football touchdown passes, probably falling in Jacksonville today. Number 2, Aaron Rodgers, and that would make the most sense. Why? Because he gets the Denver Broncos. Now, I question why Rodgers is at number 2, because number 1 is Tom Brady. Now, again, our experts, Matthew Berry, Harris Carabell, Cockroft, nice guys, intelligent guys. Brady in Oakland against that defense that doesn't allow a lot on the ground will put pressure on Brady. Tom does get the ball. Wes Welker, I guess that's the prognostication that Wes Welker will have a huge day. But, again, I think you can interchange Rodgers or Brady for your number one today. So if you've got either one of those guys in your rosters, there's no question that you're starting those guys today. Even if you've got a Breeze going to Jacksonville or Stafford at Dallas, if you've got an Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, that's where you're starting them today. So that's your top 10 and your quarterbacks. Let's move over to the running backs.
Gotta do that.
Okay, that was kind of odd, but all right, let's run it as if that's any shock here. Number 10, Rashard Mendenhall. We're running against the Houston Texans defense. Ahmad Bradshaw, the Giants against Arizona. Number 8, Fred Jackson out there in Buffalo going up against Cincinnati. Not quite sure if I really agree with that one, but that is what it is. Number 7, Michael Turner out of Atlanta going up against Seattle. That should be a lot of fun right there. Number 6 is Matt Forte, Chicago. Carolina, the defense doesn't really scare him, I guess, so they think Matt Forte may have a big day. I think a lot of that's just people prognosticating that Cutler will have a bounce-back performance. He'll probably find Matt Forte out of the backfield quite a bit. Number 5. LeSean McCoy, Shaney McCoy, Philadelphia going up against the 49ers. Again, you get Shaney McCoy out in space, out in that flat, a lot of good things can happen. Number 4, Maurice Jones-Drew, Jacksonville going up against Saints. So listen, the Bears showed one thing about the New Orleans defense, that you can do things against them once you get them on their heels. Jacksonville with Blaine Gabbert will have to work to that, and they can work to that by using the run game with Maurice Jones-Drew. Again, the Saints defense, very, very aggressive, likes to get after it in a hurry, likes to get after the quarterback. You can offset that by having a solid running game, such is the case in Jacksonville. Number 3, Ray Rice. Up against the New York Jets defense. It's been proven now after 3 seasons you can run on the Jets. You may not be able to throw well on them with Revis on one side and Cromartie on the other, but you can run on them. You can run right at them with Ray Rice, and that's what Baltimore should be trying to do today. Number 2 this week, Darren McFadden, as if that's a shock, because Darren McFadden's had an awesome start to the season. He's getting the New England Patriots defense that scares absolutely no one. So look for McFadden to have a nice day today at home. In front of that crowd. Number 1, as if this is any shock to anyone, Adrian Peterson, the Minnesota running back, going up against a Kansas City defense that couldn't stop grandmas in wheelchairs with Alzheimer's and in an inability to completely read. I know that was a lot, but God, that's the truth. Kansas City has been abysmal. And there are some people out there actually prognosticating that Kansas City gets his first win today because Minnesota has found ways to give away leads in 3 straight games. I don't see that happening today. I think AP and the Vikings get it done today, and AP probably has a huge, huge day. All right, moving right along to your wide receiver. Remember that song? Is it Michael somebody? Made a song, Wide Receiver. Well, that was way back, man. I'm dating myself. It's scary. Old. I'm showing how old I am. I should probably stop doing that because, any young honeys out there might want to call a brother. Okay, let me stop. All right, number 10, on your wide receivers. Out of Buffalo, Stevie Johnson comes in at number 10. He gets at Cincinnati. And this is where Ryan Fitzpatrick effect is really starting to show now. Number 9, Hakeem Nicks of the Giants goes up against Arizona. Number 8, Greg Jennings. I would have thought he would have been higher, but he's going up against Denver. He should have a huge day. Number 7, Roddy White at Seattle for Atlanta. Matt Ryan should find him quite a bit. I think I actually may have some fun with that one myself. Vincent Jackson, that will be catching balls from Phillip Rivers today in Miami, comes in at number 6. That's funny. There's 2 4s. Ha ha. Thought I wouldn't catch that, huh? Number 5, Larry Fitzgerald comes in at number 5. He's going up against the New York Giants today. Look for Larry to have a nice day. Number 4, Mike Wallace, get passes from Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh as they go down to Houston, and that's going to be a tough game for them. I'm not sure that the defensive front of Houston is going to put pressure on Big Ben, but Ben's a big boy. If he gets it out, Mike Wallace could have a big, big day. Number 3, there's our buddy Wes Welker. We said it before when we were talking about the quarterbacks. Expect Brady to get rid of that ball in a hurry because he's going to be under pressure most of the day, and Wes Welker is indeed the outlet for Tom Brady and things like that. Look for Welker to have a big day, and also look for Gronkowski to be a role. If that game becomes a shootout, and it certainly could, Wes Welker may have a huge day. So he comes in at number 3. Number 2, Andre Johnson, the wide receiver from Houston, as they get Pittsburgh today. Andre Johnson is always pegged to have a great day, and so nothing new there. And number 1, and probably for the first or second time this year, I think it might be the first, Calvin Johnson comes in at number 1 this week. They get the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas, the secondary, again, doesn't scare you. They're not really big in size. And here comes Megatron into city with Matt Stafford. And has no problem allowing that big target to go up that 40-inch vertical and go get that ball. So Calvin Johnson gets your number 1 love this week for those of you playing in your fantasy squads. I'm going to have to give me some segue music here so it's not just me. I know you love my voice and everything, but it shouldn't just be me. All right, here we go. Week 4 in the tight end world. Number 10, Fred Davis, the tight end at Washington, goes up against the Cardinals. Oh, here we go. Here comes some controversy. Number 9, Greg Olsen, the ex-Bear, now playing Carolina, going to Chicago. He had a little bit of an axe to grind the way he was bounced out of Chicago. Number 8, Tony Gonzalez, Atlanta. They get the Seahawks. That's actually probably a good play. Number 7, Dustin Keller, the New York Jets, taking balls from Mark Sanchez. Up against the Baltimore Ravens defense, I'm not sure about that one. I mean, unless he becomes a safety valve in some way, they can get him out in space. I don't know about that one. Anyway, number 6, Owen Daniels of the Houston Texans goes up against Pittsburgh. Look for that to be a decent day. Number five, Vernon Davis of the 49ers. They get Philadelphia. Look for that to actually be a decent day for Vernon Davis as they and Philadelphia's linebackers. While they tend to be aggressive against the run, not so strong against the pass. Number four, Jimmy Graham. Now, there's a guy, the ex-basketball player converted, going into Jacksonville, a very, very large target. Again, look for some fun things to come from Jimmy Graham and the New Orleans Saints. Number three, Jason Witten. Dallas goes up against Detroit. I actually like the Jason Witten play against that Detroit defense, a Detroit defense that is often overly aggressive and can be easily had by simply counteracting, and that's where Jason Witten would play a big role. Number two, Jermichael Finley, the Green Bay tight end. Look for Jermichael Finley to have an absolute huge day against Denver. And number one, we spoke about it earlier, Tom Brady's tight end, Rob Gronkowski in Oakland. Again, that game, so many people have pegged that game as an absolute potential shootout. So do not be surprised if you see Gronkowski have a couple of touchdowns in this one today. All right, we're moving on. For those of you that are actually really, really, truly concerned about your kickers. That's right, kickers. I said it. I'm not backing down from it. Kickers. Number 10 this week, Ryan Lindell out of Buffalo kicking in Cincinnati. Number 9, David Akers. These are your options, people. Get your rosters right. Number 8, Nick Folk. Number 7, Billy Cundiff in Baltimore. Number 6, Steven Gostkowski, New England. That game, I mean, the more I read this, the more I hear it, this thing may turn into an absolute shootout. Number 5, John Casey, New Orleans. Number 4, Sebastian Janikowski, Oakland, going up against New England. There, again, so many times we've seen now New England and Oakland teammates in these prognostications. Number 3, Jason Hansen, Detroit, going up against Dallas. Number 2, Mason Crosby. That's just a matter of the fact that he's playing Denver. That's why he's up there so high. Number 1, Neil Rackers in Houston. I would not assume for a minute that Houston-Pittsburgh becomes a shootout. That'll be a pretty balanced game. You could see easily 24-21, maybe on the high end of things. Anyway, so such is the love for the kickers. Again, we ran through that quickly because how much love can you give a kicker? That's all there is to it. Now, to the grinders on defense. If you're not playing fantasy football this weekend, or you're not going to a betting window and looking at teams like Green Bay, Atlanta has options today to play, I don't know what you're doing with your discretionary funds. All right, let's run down the defense. Number 10, the Houston Texans going up against Pittsburgh. Again, 24-21, not sure where that love's coming from, but it is what it is. Number 9, the New York Giants up against Arizona. Again, the Giants are an opportunity defense. They're looking for maybe the defense to score some points. The Redskins against the Rams. That is one where the Redskins defense may actually show out and prove. That is a very, very aggressive defense with D'Angelo Hall, his name forgives me now. Anyway, the London Fletcher, thank you. A very, very aggressive defense that is prone to points. Philadelphia, number 7 this week in the defensive side of things, gets the 49ers. Again, the Philadelphia defense against the San Francisco offense, if Gore is still banged up and Alex Smith can't, and he's got some of the best wide receivers in the game, but for whatever reason, they can't get that offense worked out. I could see why Philadelphia might even be a little higher than that. Number 6, the New York Jets going up against a Baltimore offense. Baltimore's offense is better than advertised, so this game is in Baltimore, so I'm not sure about that one either. Number 5, the Detroit Lions going into Dallas and trying to slow down Tony Romo. This is why I play with offenses. Number 4, the Atlanta Falcons at Seattle. This one I agree with. Yes, sir. I think the Atlanta Falcons, I have no real respect for Tavares Jackson and Pete Carroll's offense in Seattle. They should be running the ball and literally ushering Tavares in slowly instead of just trying to give him the playbook and say, go out there and survive. Number 3, the Chicago Bears. Now, I had some apprehensions with this at number 3 only because Carolina's coming in with a coach that used to be the coordinator in Chicago. Players on that squad that know Chicago very, very well. Do not be surprised if they don't dial something about it. The Bears are better than Carolina, but don't be surprised if that game gets a little dicey, 27-24, 31-27. I expect Cutler to have a decent game, but also expect Cam Newton to make some people get big-eyed real quick. I'll be curious to see how the Bears' defense goes up against Big Cam in that game. Number 2, the Baltimore Ravens against the Jets. That would kind of make sense. The Ravens' defense is, when they want to play and they're at home, they can really shut you down. Sanchez may have a very long day. Number 1 this week, is if anyone were guessing, would be the Green Bay Packers, because Denver is just abysmal. And yes, it's the first time in my radio career I can tell you that I've used the term abysmal twice in the same show. 1040 for your Sunday morning. Welcome to the fastest 60 minutes of sports. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your love. Get up with us anytime you so desire, and I mean anytime you so desire. You can give us a call at 619-639-4747 during this hour, 10 o'clock Central Standard Time to 11 o'clock every Sunday morning, the pregame show to the pregame show, 619-639-4747. I love the fact that so many of you all just go about your Sunday mornings, whether you're cutting your lawn, cutting your grass, spending time with kids. A lot of you are in church right now. Some of you have got a little piece in your ear, and you really can't call, but you got the thing in the ear, so you can hear me holler about this National Football League. You can't wait for the pastor to do the benediction so you can get home and get into your weekend, fire up that grill, and do what you do. I completely understand. Just know that I'm here for you. This thing is podcasted, so once this thing is done, that file gets archived. You can play it back as soon as you get home. I'm just hoping that you've already set your roster now and you got it right. If you didn't, that you get home in time to get that thing right, because the last thing you want to have happen, boo-boo, the last thing you really truly want to have happen is that kickoff occurred and you didn't get your roster modification done. You didn't set your roster. For those of you that are going to a betting window, sportsbook.com, betongames.com, whatever it is, you know, loseyourmoney.com, whatever it might be, you got some options out there. There's some decent plays out there this week. I don't know where you're going, but I got an idea, and I had some suggestions for you earlier based on some of the things we saw. So we'll get back. Up next on the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports, we've got the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Blocks from our guys at ESPN, the Vin Picks Week 4. Don't go anywhere. We're back in one.
Remember our wonder years? We began every morning with fresh eyes. Every afternoon promised another adventure. We lived in the moment and made every day matter. Those days might seem long ago, but that sense of wonder can still be found. It still lives in a magical place where the mighty Huron, Superior, and Lake Michigan meet. Our wonder is not lost, but flows strong in the great waters of Michigan's eastern Upper Peninsula, a place of shipwrecks and maritime adventure, a sacred land rich with Native American heritage and man-made marvels, where quiet forests open under rolling shores, and where we can still see eagles soar over majestic cliffs, rugged shoreline, and hundreds of islands that rise from this freshwater sea. So let's head north to the great waters and discover the wonder that is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Back in better than ever on the fastest 60 minutes of sports. Now to one of our specials, and this will be, what, the second or third time we do this in a row. I want you guys to check this out. From our friends over at Showtime and our friends at Yahoo Sports and our friends at YouTube, all of the above. All right. We're going to do this thing as a celebration of you play to win the game.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
You know, but as a series of popular beer commercials ably demonstrates, not every head coach basks in the goodwill after the game. Courtesy of YouTube sensation DJ Steve Porter, here's our spin on
you play to win the game.
That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. When you start telling me, it doesn't matter. Who talks? Get out.
We couldn't do diddly poo. Offensively, we couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. We sucked.
You play to win the game. That's pitiful. You don't play to just play it.
Perform like that.
You don't play to win.
Okay.
You start telling me.
We suck.
It doesn't matter. Then we talk.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Okay.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? Playoffs? That's pitiful. Playoffs?
I just hope we can win a game.
Get off the players' backs, backs. I'm responsible for the whole thing. I'm responsible for the whole thing, okay?
The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, you want to crowd them? They crowd their ass. But they are who we thought they were. So we let them on the hook.
I told you what I'm going to do now. Now you want what I was going to do. Pick some contingency of that. Some contingency of that. Want to know what I'm going to do. Pick some contingency of that. All of which are hypothetical.
I'm a coach's team. I was out
who's playing.
I was out who plays when they play, where they play.
That's why we took the damn field. Damn field. That's why we took the damn field.
Run back.
You play to win the game.
I want winners.
You don't play to just play.
I want people that want to win. This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
the game.
Cannot win with him.
Playoffs.
Hello? Cannot coach with him.
That is so much crap.
Can't do it.
You play to win.
You don't know what we're trying to do. You guys don't look at the films. You don't know what happened. You really don't know. You think you know, but you really don't know. And you never will.
I'm getting on the damn heat with everybody, each and every one of y'all, hammering my tail. I don't coach that way. I don't coach when you do that type of thing.
See that? That's your IQ, buddy.
I don't coach that way.
See that? That's your IQ, buddy. Zero.
I don't read shit. I gotta tell you the truth.
I know I'm smarter than that.
You play to win the game.
Playoffs?
You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. When you start helping me, it doesn't matter. Then the top. Get out.
Yesterday's yesterday. Today's today. Tomorrow will be tomorrow.
Playoffs?
Thanks, Coach.
Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. 10:46 for your Sunday morning, the pregame to the pregame. Now it is time. Oh, by the way, we've given you guys so much love and so much fun, but I cannot do this without introducing the right way. All the way from ESPN's Mike and Mike in the Morning. This relationship started last year. We want to share with you guys once again. Welcome back again, the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. Here's Mike and Mike with Friday's edition of the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
The time has finally arrived.
Yes!
All right. These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
Whoopee!
An ESPN radio exclusive.
All right, colleagues, here we go for week four. And to begin, I'm falling back on something you've told me a million times, and that is football players are creatures of habit.
I lift things up and put them down.
Excuse me?
I lift things up and put them down.
Okay,
I lift things up and put them down.
The San Francisco 49ers have spent a week in Ohio.
Oh! Why do you bring me here?
They're based in San Francisco and they're playing in Philadelphia. What are they doing in Ohio?
What are you doing here? Just filling in for Ryan.
May you fight with the strength of 10 full-grown men.
Well, I'll tell you what, they didn't want to travel back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, so just staying put.
Where are you going?
Nowhere.
That doesn't work.
Okay, fine.
Football players aren't accustomed to that. They're out of their rhythm and they're playing an angry Eagles team that has a lot to prove.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't frustrated right now.
Eagles giving 7, that's a big number, but not giving up.
Boy, you guys are not sucking me into the story at all. I'm just telling you for your own benefit.
I'll give the 7 points, and the Eagles are going to win this one in a blowout.
Wow.
Oh, I actually agree with you on that one.
He agreed. Picks have flown. Hell is frozen over.
I'm going to go to Arizona yet again just because I love it there, and the Giants are going to Arizona as well.
Woo! Come on!
Arizona is getting 1.5. I think the Giants are on a bit of a roll.
Keep on rolling, baby.
I think their confidence got built with their win last week against the Eagles. I think it continues out of the desert.
Arizona moon, keep shining.
And I think they go on the road as the favorite.
From the desert sky above.
And take care of business and take care of the Cardinals in Arizona.
And then finally, for our head-to-head matchup, I'm going to say, Houston, we have no problem.
I am stupid. This way I try to be funny.
The Texans are looking to score some points, and they're going to do it against the previously great Pittsburgh Steelers defense. That's right, I said previously great.
I love things that are great. Good things are fantastic.
That Steelers defense isn't what it was as recently as a year ago. And you know what?
What?
What? A blowout win over Seattle and then a squeaker over the Colts isn't impressing me.
John Wiesem puts the Steelers ahead with 4 seconds left.
I like the Texans giving 4 at home with a big win.
You tell me that I'm brilliant? Oh, no. That would be too obvious.
Wrong. They'll eventually get to where they belong, and that's just one of the best defenses in the league. The Steelers are for real.
I have a devious plan.
Oh, great. Captain Moron has a plan.
They're getting 4 points in Houston? I'll take that in a heartbeat. Give me the Steelers. They're going to win this game outright.
Let me make this clear for you, okay? You are nothing.
And those are your week four so
go,
let's box.
Okay, let's put an end to this pathetic hoedown.
All right, Mike and Mike and the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. A nice job. Joaquin's having himself quite a week.
Yeah, he is.
A nice job on Locks after doing a terrific job on the Red Sox song. And Paul Contador.
Paul Ryan.
Paul Contador.
Same as Ryan.
Did the TV side. Liam just said in my ear, Paul Contador.
For the cycling, it's big cyclist. It's Ryan. It's Paul Ryan.
So you're telling me that his name is not actually... So Liam gave me a name, but it's not the right name.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and this doesn't make any sense.
It's going to be a beatdown. If only you could beat anybody down.
I don't understand why he says in my ear Paul Contador on the TV side of him. That's not actually his name. Doesn't make any sense on how I feel. Once again, I am the butt of the joke.
Yes.
We went head-to-head on Pittsburgh and Houston. I have the Texans giving the points. Golic is giving the points with the Giants in Arizona. And I'm giving the points with the Eagles at home against San Francisco. Let's do a few other picks for the folks in the room, Mike.
Real quick, locks for the year. You stink. You're 1-5. And I am 2-2-2.
I divorced myself from last week's pick. I purposely picked the Patriots and gave the points to try and jinx them, and it worked. To me, that was a win. I'll take a win on that one.
Your picks stink.
10 out of 10 times.
All right.
My picks may stink, but at least the Patriots lost the game.
Stink.
Dallas giving 1.5 here, Mike, against Detroit. Whoever would have thought we'd see a time where the Cowboys would only be 1.5 favorite at home against the Lions.
Yeah.
But Vegas thinks the Lions are a better team. Cowboys still banged up on the offensive side. They've got the young center in there, and they were having trouble last week, and now he's got a fellow by the name of Ndamukong Suh lined up in front of him.
What I liked about Dallas in their win, though, it was a sloppy win, is they got the running game going. Something was awful. And then Felix Jones gets 115. They get 125 overall. Could be tougher against this Detroit front. I do have Dallas making the playoffs. I don't have Detroit, so I actually would like to see Dallas get this win. But, boy, it's going to be a tough one.
Carolina at Chicago is an interesting game. Anywhere Cam Newton goes, I think it's interesting. Bears are 1-2, so they need a little bounce back. And I was interested. We do these eliminator picks for our Monday sports centers. You have Chicago.
I took Chicago.
The Bears this week in your eliminator pick.
Yeah, I think they're going to put it together. Listen, Carolina, I know Cam Newton has been doing well the first couple weeks, but they're not a great team. They're just not. I'm not saying the Bears are, but the Bears, I think, are much better than Carolina. I really do. They're given 6.5 points here. I like their defense against Cam Newton in this one. I think the Bears win this one by over a touchdown.
And then how about Baltimore and the Jets? We're going to have Joe Flacco live here in about 10 minutes, quarterback of the Ravens. They put up huge numbers last week, Mike, but now they take on the Jets, who allowed huge numbers last week against the Raiders.
I think your Jets are in trouble. More from the offensive side. Defense getting hammered by the Raiders. That happens every now and then to great defenses. I still think the Jets have an excellent defense. I don't see that happening much again, though Baltimore will try and do it. I see it from the other side for the Jets in the offense. Passing, running, what are you? What are you doing? It's an excellent defense. You're another defense that's getting up there in age but still performing well in Baltimore. I think your Jets are in a bit of trouble. I really do.
I do as well. I made this point the other day when the Jets began this three-game road trip, which they have. Of course, in football, it's not a road trip, but
you know what I mean. Right.
Three consecutive road games at Oakland, at Baltimore, at New England. I circled the middle one, and I said, that's the one they don't win.
I'm with you, because they've been doing it to New England. They've been doing well against them.
Rex has a winning record against Belichick historically, and the Patriot defense has certainly struggled. And that's why I thought the Raider game was so critical for the Jets.
I agree.
If you wanted to have a chance to come out of this thing 2-1, I think you had to beat the Raiders. Now I think if the Jets get a split between at Baltimore and at New England, I think you take that to the bank.
I completely agree with it, and it's gonna be work, I think, to get that.
There you go. That is your Week 4 Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. But now, the unedited, waited for, with bated breath, Week 4, Ben Picks 2011. Get your pens ready, kids. Rock and roll with a little help from CeeLo Green. Week 4, National Football League, Ben Picks 2011. Ready to rock and roll. While the Baltimore Ravens cooperated with my picks for Week 3, a few too many other teams did not. The New England Patriots blew their game, losing to the Buffalo Bills off an unforeseen 4 picks of Tom Brady, who threw 4 interceptions all of last year. The Miami Dolphins, Cincinnati Bengals, and Washington Redskins all lost easily winnable games to leave me barely .500 for the week, a far cry from the previous storied start of the 2011 season. Let's right the ship for Week 4. Steelers at Texans. I'm sure so many people were disappointed to see me picking the Houston Texans, who have a very difficult offense to stop, led by the best wide receiver in football, Andre Johnson. Also, the Texans defense is vastly improved, even though they lost to a tough New Orleans Saints team. Pittsburgh is no slouch, but they will have a tough time keeping up in this track meet. Texans by 4. Titans at Browns. Since this game is actually considered a pick 'em game, I can't use it as an upset special. However, Tennessee has proved to the Ravens that they are not a bad team, while Cleveland, despite its 2 wins, has not proved it's a good team. Give me the Titans by a deuce. Lions at Cowboys. I know Detroit is the hot team in the NFL, but don't expect them to go undefeated much longer, as they had to overcome a 20-point deficit last week against a Minnesota Viking team that is not as good as Dallas. My only concern is the Dallas offensive line keeping the Lions' defensive line off Tony Romo's chest. Cowboys hand the Lions their first loss. Give me the boys by 3. Panthers at Bears. Carolina quarterback Cam Newton has been amazing so far, but to expect him to go in Chicago and beat an angry Bears team is a bit too much even for this pure athlete, as quarterback Jay Cutler rebounds with a solid football game. Bears by 4. Vikings at Chiefs. This would be a good time for Minnesota to finally hold an actual lead at halftime and then actually hold on and win the game. It would also be a good time for Kansas City to finally get a win. No, I'll take the Vikings and Adrian Peterson by a field goal. Bills at Bengals. If my predictions come true this weekend, Buffalo will be the lone undefeated team and could actually have a two-game lead in the AFC East. Bills quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick is both smart, as a Harvard grad, and an accurate 65% rate of his terms of completion, while Cincinnati's 8 points at home last week doesn't give cause for hope. Give me the Bills by 3. Redskins at Rams. St. Louis woes continue, as Washington's defense will continue the pounding that Rams quarterback Sam Bradford suffered last week at the hands of the Ravens. The Redskins' offense will not explode like Baltimore's did, but they don't have to in order to still win the game on the road. Redskins and Sexy Rexy by a field goal. 49ers at Eagles. If San Francisco can only muster 13 points in their win over the Bengals, it seems doubtful they can do much better against the Philadelphia Eagles, regardless of how well or even how long Michael Vick actually plays. Eagles by 7. Saints at Jaguars. Think Jacksonville rookie quarterback Blaine Gabbert has had a tough start to his NFL career, playing in a driving rainstorm in his first game and then facing New Orleans in his second will definitely harden him to the rigors of the National Football League, but certainly not his win total, as to expect the Saints to keep marching on all the way into the end zone several times against the Jaguars. Saints by 7. Falcons at Seahawks. Here we go with what should have been an upset week. That's right, I was all set to give the Seahawks a victory over the traveling Falcons. I've just not been impressed with Atlanta in 2011, and Seattle might be a wee bit better than most people think. Tavares Jackson will never be confused with Matt Ryan, but his scrambling ability should cause some fits for the Falcons. Or not. Give me the Falcons by 4. Giants at Cardinals. This game actually counts as an upset special, as New York is favored by a point on the road, and the road part is why I like Arizona to exploit their secondary with Kevin Cobb and Larry Fitzgerald as a great combination today. Cards by 3 in the upset. Patriots at Raiders. Am I seriously going to say this? New England is going on a 2-game losing streak, much less in Oakland. The Patriots should definitely have won in Buffalo, but didn't. And the Raiders almost won at Buffalo a week before. Oakland is a pretty tough home team and is one of the fastest in the NFL. I may be wrong on this one, but I'm going to live on the edge. So I'm going and hoping for Raider Nation to be celebrating a late Sunday afternoon. Raiders in an upset. I'll take the 6 points, Vegas. Broncos at Packers. Denver is in a boatload of trouble as they have to go to Green Bay, face the best team and the best quarterback in the league. So pardon me if I leave it at that. Packers by 10. Yeah, I wonder if anyone would dare bet the Broncos the 12 points Vegas is offering them. Stay away from that one. Dolphins at Chargers. Miami is supposed to be a better team on the road than at home. But if they lost at Cleveland, something tells me they have a little to no chance in San Diego. Let's put it like this. We're going to keep the Fins head coach Tony Soprano on the proverbial hot seat, at least for another week. Chargers by 7. Colts at Buccaneers. While I approve of Indianapolis changing the quarterback Curtis Painter, that should not have been the catalyst to the Colts' first 2011 win. Tampa Bay gets a chance to look good on national TV. Woo! Although they haven't seemed as good as they were in 2010. Bucks by 7. Jets at Ravens. The Ravens had a rough week 2 loss against the Tennessee Titans, but overall they've been pretty solid. Led by a solid defense, a capable leader in quarterback Joe Flacco, a star running back in Ray Rice, and an emerging rookie receiver in Torrey Smith. Keep in mind, it's 1 week. He had a breakout performance against the St. Louis Rams in week 3. So what happens next? Ravens over Jets by 4. And that is your Week 4 NFL Ben Picks. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Peace. Sing it, CeeLo.
And the big city.
Week 4 National Football League, baby. That's going to do it for the week. Well, actually, for the fastest 60 minutes of the sports, I get a little geeked up because you know what I'm about to do? You know about this? I'm about to challenge all of y'all and last one of y'all, 1,300 of y'all, to these picks this week. Hit me on Facebook. Look me up at VinLove1207 on your Facebook, Twitter, VinLove1207. Find me. Hit up and get up with me. I'm telling you right now, today will be an exciting day in the National Football League. It's going to be an exciting day in playoff baseball. We'll get to all the hockey and all that stuff, and we're not talking about the National Basketball League. But anyway, that's going to do it for the fastest 60 minutes of sports, and we've actually gone over. We're an hour and 3 minutes in, and we still got more to share. But that's going to do it for today, ladies and gentlemen. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. My name is Vinny Moore, and you've been listening to the fastest 60 minutes of sports. See you next week. Peace!